Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for being here. I would also like to thank Ryan Dixon for moderating this session. You'll see my name was listed, but I had another obligation. So, Ryan, thank you so much for moderating and keeping a tight, tight watch on that time, as was just evident by the judicious control. I'd like to talk to you about biocontainers, and specifically with bioplastics. This has been a project that I was lucky enough to be invited to work on when I joined Iowa State University's Department of Horticulture, and it was an SCRI grant. And so I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about substrate moisture and the effect on container strength and appearance. So we know that horticulture can be an industry that is intensive with respect to its use in petroleum plastics. For a lot of the temporary greenhouse structures, they're covered by plastic double-wall poly or single-wall poly, for those of you in the South, and that every few years that gets removed and that needs to be taken care of, disposed of, potentially recycled. But a bigger problem is the use of, the volume, rather, of plastic waste that is generated from plant containers. Because, you know, we're promoting the use of plants, but we also are growing them in plastic containers. What do we do with all that plastic? Now, there are very noble efforts that are underway to try and collect that plastic and reuse it. And recycle it. However, there is much more plastic entering the waste stream than is going to be recycled and put back into production in other plastic pots. So, what are some solutions to reducing the amount of plastic for use in containers? Biocontainers. Biocontainers, it's a broad category of containers that are made with biological material. So up here, you'll see three of the more widely used biocontainers. From right to left, on the right, we've got our Jiffy, the peat pot. It's that pressed peat. In the middle, we've got a container that is made out of the coconut coir, the husk of the coconut. And then on the far left, we've got a container that is made from pressed wood fiber. And these all work for growing crops. They're especially well-suited to short-term crops. But they're not the ideal solution to reducing the use of plastic, and that's for two reasons. One is the aesthetics. When you look at these, you can tell they're very organic, and you know, they give the impression of being earth-friendly. However, not everybody who has an environmental conscience wants to wear dreadlocks, tie-dyes, and Birkenstocks. So we've got an aesthetic feature, but more importantly, when we think about greenhouses, automation plays an important role in the profitability of greenhouses. And so we have automated pot filling, transplanting machines. These containers get handled quite a bit, and so they need to be stand up to that robust mechanization that we have in many of our modern greenhouses. So can we improve on the biocontainer? Bioplastics. For those of you who don't know, go watch the movie The Graduate, as Dustin Hoffman is getting some great advice on his future life. So bioplastics, they're going to be an alternative to traditional biocontainers. All the containers that you see in this photo are made from various types of bioplastics material. And what a bioplastic is, or a biopolymer, it's going to be a polymer of plastic that is made from something that, again, has a biological organism. Or a biological origin. And a lot of times this can be from fermentation processes or other types of digestion. And we can then use these biopolymers to make injection molded containers, because as you look at these containers, they look like regular greenhouse containers that are made from injection molding. And this is a benefit, one, because they look more close, they resemble a traditional plastic container, but they also work very well. This is a 4.5-inch mold, and so these containers can be put through the automation and mechanization, or automation and mechanization that you have in a commercial greenhouse facility. So we developed a lot of these containers, and then one of the first things we wanted to do is see how they work in commercial production. And so this was one of the first projects that a former master's student, Nick Flax, did. And he took these biocontainers, again in that 4.5-inch size, and he conducted a commercial grower trial where we went to greenhouses that ranged from 4 acres up to 80-plus acres. And we said, here, take these containers, put them in your greenhouse, and grow them like you would any other greenhouse container, and let's get some input from you. And this actually has come out recently. Actually, it's in the most current issue of Hort Technology. On the cover is a nice suite of some of the biocontainers that were included in this. So I won't spoil the results. Go give the Hort Technology webpage some hits. But one of the problems that we noticed is that at the end of production, some of the containers did not look so nice. And Allison, your crinkled face is correct. That is not exactly something appealing to a consumer when you take it out of that shuttle tray. Because these are made with biological material, we had some degradation that would happen in those shuttle trays. In most commercial production, especially at bigger growers, is done within a shuttle tray, so that's why we use these trays. But it wasn't only the appearance that was the problem. If you had eaten your Wheaties the morning you went to purchase your plants and you grabbed a plant, there's a chance that you could, depending on the material, grab it and crush the side of the container. Because, again, that structural integrity of the container was compromised during the production process. So the objectives of our research were to quantify the effects of substrate volumetric water content, soil moisture, on the aesthetic quality and the mechanical properties of several different types of bioplastic containers. And our hypothesis was that the aesthetics of a soy protein and polyhydroxyalkanoate dried distiller grain, I won't say that too many times, that these specific containers would be rated lower and the strength would be greater when grown at a lower substrate volumetric content or grown dry. So for our experiment, we used two different taxa. We used geraniums, specifically the seed geranium, and we used a seed variety of New Guinea impatiens. Both were 288 cell size, and we received them from a commercial grower. Once we were planting these, they were planted in a substrate that was comprised of standard peat perlite mix, 80% and 20% by volume. And then it was amended with two different amounts of controlled release fertilizer. For the New Guinea impatiens, we used 2.4 kilograms per cubic meter of substrate. And for the geraniums, we used 4.2 kilograms per cubic meter of substrate. The reason being is that New Guinea impatiens are they have a lower fertility requirement or lower nutrient requirement than, say, a seed geranium. So we adjusted the rates of fertilizer based on commercial recommendations. And then in the greenhouse, we had a target average daily temperature of 24 degrees Celsius, and that was from a day temperature that was between 25 and 26 degrees Celsius and a night temperature of 20 degrees. And we maintained a DLI of 15 moles in the greenhouse. And this was achieved through the use of 1,000-watt high-pressure sodium lamps that turned on at 6 a.m., and then they turned off at 10 p.m. And then during the day, they would turn on or off based on a light set point or a light trigger that we would manipulate, again, to maintain a consistent daily light integral of 15 moles per day. So we had five different container types. In addition to a standard petroleum plastic 4.5-inch that was the same dimensions as these, we had four different types of these bioplastic containers. And you'll see up here, we have different proportions. And what that is that's the percent by mass as far as the different polymer or the different co-products that went into production. So the PLA, that stands for polylactic acid, and then SPA, which is a soy protein, and then BioRes, that is a commercial soy product in a proportion of 50, 30, 20. Then we had a container that had a higher proportion of PLA and a higher proportion of the SPA with none of the BioRes in there. Then we had a PHA and DDGS, and again, those DDGS, that's dried distiller grain, which is a byproduct of ethanol production. I live in Iowa, so clearly this is something that we've got in abundance. And then finally, we've got a PLA that's combined with lignin. Those are four different biocontainers, and again, we had one a plastic control. So next, we needed to figure out how to maintain our irrigation system. So Mark and Krishna, thank you so much for publishing this. And Mark, thank you for sending me Alex to help build this. I've got graduate students. I wanted to name this an ode to graduate students because Alex and Nick did a great job putting this system together to have to maintain the two different volumetric water content set points that we had, which were 40% and 20%. And the reason we chose those is 40%, I hesitate to use the word wet, but that would be more standard or a well-watered condition. And 20% we selected because that seemed to be the threshold where we could be growing dry without getting excessive growth control or stunted plants. So those are the two different set points. This system is controlled. Again, we've got sensors that are measuring the substrate volumetric water content, and they're pointed out by those white arrows there. And then that's sending the signal to the Campbell data logger, and that's opening up the solenoid to irrigate as required. And what you see here is this is a replication. And a replication was two different trays, and we sampled the six plants in the middle. We had three replications for each substrate volumetric water content. And this is what it looked like at the end of the experiment. And I'm just going to focus on geraniums for the results. We collected data on irrigation, plant growth, as well as container appearance and strength. So the system worked. We maintained our two different water set points, 40% and 20%. I'm not going to show all the graphs, but we were able to maintain those target substrate set points. Also, while I won't share the data, it did reduce the total volume of water provided to each of the plants. It did not, however, change the water use efficiency of the plants. Okay. We did have differences in growth. As expected, in this table, we've got our two different volumetric water contents. The mean separation letters are within a column, and the significance is indicating the differences between wet and dry. And as expected, when grown drier, we had more compact plants. And this is the growth index where we integrated both height and width. And this is, again, this is something that we've seen in that published research that you can control growth by growing drier. Shoot dry mass, again, it followed a very similar trend to that the growth index. More importantly, when we look at the ratings, we rated two sides of the containers. One side of the shuttle tray completely covers the container, and the other has that scallop that exposes more. So two scientists independently rated both sides of the container, and both of those container side ratings were averaged, as well as the scores between the two different scientists. And this gives you an indication of the range. The dashed line is the container rating for those plants that were grown dry, and the solid line is the container rating for those that were grown at that saturated or 40% level. And as suspected, we had variation across the different types. Petroleum plastic and PLA lignin, those were the strongest containers. And then you can see that PLA SPA BioRes, they got the best ratings, and that PLA SPA BioRes got a very poor rating. At that higher volumetric water content, 40%, you can start to see more segregation by the different materials, where, again, PLA and lignin and plastic, they were rated 5s. They looked perfect. But that PLA SPA BioRes was even worse. So this does support part of that hypothesis, that it was poor looking. Now, measuring container strength, we use this Instron universal testing machine that would crush the container both vertically and horizontally to look at the strength. And what we see is that PLA lignin, the PLA SPA, and the petroleum plastic containers were unaffected, that vertical crush strength where we tried to crush it. It was unaffected by water content. But the SPA BioRes and the container PHA and DDGs, those containers were stronger, 61 and 33% respectively, when grown at a drier volumetric water content. Horizontal strength was only affected by container type, and irrigation had no effect on that. And we hypothesized that that's due to the increased thickness of the wall around that container lip when we were squeezing it horizontally. So conclusions, smaller plants when growing drier, more degradable containers, that PLA, SPA, and the PHA, DDGs, have a more appealing appearance and stronger when grown drier. And so reducing your substrate volumetric water content is a way to maintain or lessen the degradation and maintain a better appearance, as well as hopefully maintain the strength of your containers. I'd like to acknowledge Pete Lawler, Wagner Greenhouses, and Floracan for donating their time and materials and support from the USDA Specialty Crop Research Initiative. I've got time for one question, but I will be hanging out afterwards. Yes. How long did it take to degrade those containers? I believe that the production time was approximately 7 weeks for both the seed geranium as well as the seed New Guinea impatien. Well, so these are bedding plants, so they should be taken out and transplanted. This isn't a type of biocontainer. I don't recommend planting any biocontainer in the ground with it still around the roots. That's never a good idea, regardless of what you're doing, because you've got that physical inhibition of root growth. So I'm going to get out because he's pulling out the white cane, but I'll stay for after the session.